Would you pray with me? Loving and gracious God, we thank you for your word. Your word that speaks of new things, new possibilities, new hopes. Your word that speaks of reverence, respect, and love. Help us, God, to hear it, to believe it, to trust it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Prince George William Frederick Charles, otherwise known as the Duke of Cambridge in the late 1800s, once said, "Any change at any time for any reason is to be deplored." I don't think the prince had read our passage from Isaiah, that God is going to change, to do a new thing, or about forgetting former things. But you know, as I read this passage, I thought what we often forget that is that when God does a new thing, it means we have to change too. God's new thing means a change in us. We have to change our perceptions of God, of what God is doing in our life and what God is doing in the church and in the world. Reverend Howard Wallace of the United Church in Australia writes, "The prophet aims to create anticipation, to reinforce a forward-looking view, but more may be implied. The new thing described in Isaiah is a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The journey through the wilderness during the Exodus and the provision of water from the rock spring to mind as we hear this passage. If the new thing is a new Exodus, this time back to Jerusalem, and the prophet relies on the old Exodus and its story to give the people hope, then it seems that the clause, 'do not remember the former things,' cannot mean forget them completely. After all, the prophet relies on past memories for the people to envision a new Exodus. The people are going to have to go through an Exodus again to return from the Babylonian captivity. They are going to have to learn to put their trust in God again, just as those in the first Exodus had to. They are going to have to change in order to recover the covenant." And this is an important announcement as we close out this season of Lent, as we prepare once again to enter the boundaries of Holy Week starting next Sunday. And if we want to experience the resurrection, and we're going to have to change a little bit. One of the things about Bible stories, like the one from today's Gospel in John, is that over time we lose the punch of the story. Familiarity breeds a sort of complacency where we almost want to say, "Oh, I've heard that story before. I know all about it." Not to mention that we've lost some of the significance that's within the story over the centuries. And I think we need to go back and look at it and remind ourselves that what Mary did in pouring that nard on his feet and wiping his feet with her hair, that was a pretty sensual act with strong sexual overtones. Mary Graves, a senior pastor of Trinity Church in San Carlos, California, writes, "First of all, Jesus and Mary are both single adults of marriageable age and available. That automatically creates a dynamic right there. As you know, there are many ways to be sexual with one another that do not use the act. Also, in Jesus' day, a woman was not allowed to let her hair down in public because there was something about that act that was considered sexual. Women didn't wear their hair short, they wore it long. And once they moved beyond girlhood, they always wore their hair tied back or up. To wear it down in public marked you as an immoral woman. a loose woman. Now, so what we get in this story in John is a very passionate act on the part of Mary, foreshadowing something deeper. It foreshadows the passion of Jesus. Now, I use passion there for Jesus in two separate ways. For his coming passion or death, and his passionate love for humanity that is shown in his death. This is a new thing. Jesus could have, and most of humanity would have understood, if he had just turned around and walked away from the whole thing. I'm not going to Jerusalem. I don't want to do that. I'm going to find some town where I'm comfortable and settle down. I tried. People don't get it. And once the people were in exile in Isaiah, God could have said to Isaiah, "Hey, I tried with this stiff-necked people. I tried to get them to do it right. I'm done. I'm done with them. Now you're on your own." And would we, as human beings, have blamed God and Jesus if they had said that? Probably not. Because we generally don't have that same passion about loving God's people, loving God's ways that Jesus did, that God did. We say, well, I guess people just can't change. Leo Tolstoy once said, "Everybody thinks of changing humanity and nobody thinks of changing him or herself." But if we are to be passionate about God, about a new way, then we have to be willing to change. I was thinking about, there was a time that Tom Poziel used to be able to stay in worship. And he liked it, I think. He's always taking part in it. But there was a need for teaching the youth of our church and recognizing that most people are not comfortable with teaching youth with their challenging and searching questions. He became passionate about serving the youth of our church and has touched the youth, as we have heard, in many wonderful ways. I've told Tom that, you know, Tom, years later, when our youth are asked to reflect on someone who touched them or shared with them in a positive and significant way, you're the one they're going to think of. Your name is the one that's going to come up in their minds. That is what passion for the new way is all about. Loving others in a passionate way that makes an impact on them and on ourselves. I truly believe that probably most of us have not truly felt the power of the crucifixion and the resurrection in our lives. And what I mean by that is, I think in most of us, maybe all of us, there is that little bit of doubt that says, I'm not sure Jesus would go to the cross for me. I'm not sure Jesus would forgive me. I don't always feel very beloved in God's eyes. But friends, that is what the passion of Jesus Christ is all about. That God so loved you, that Jesus went to the cross for you. However, to experience that, we must be willing to go through our own wilderness and learn how much we need God and to hear God say, "You, put your name in there, are my beloved." We cannot do it alone. But the good news is there are streams in the wilderness that sustain us. There are streams of love and grace. We just have to be willing to experience a new beginning. Are you ready and willing to experience that overwhelming grace? Then get ready. Get ready by knowing how passionate Christ's love for you is. Prepare by believing that you are God's beloved. And that is the way, the beginning of the way back. Amen.